Well, good morning. Welcome to Escape from Freedom. I'm your host, Nadia Shamsuddin, and I'm so glad you've joined us today. My guest this morning is Robert Ellis Smith, a journalist who uses his training as an attorney to report on the individual's right to privacy. Since 1974, he has published Privacy Journal, a monthly newsletter on privacy in a computer age based in Providence, Rhode Island. Now, Smith is a frequent speaker, writer, and congressional witness on privacy issues and has compiled a clearinghouse of information on the subject. Computer databanks, credit and medical records, the internet, electronic surveillance, the law of privacy, and physical and psychological privacy. The New York Times said Smith, quote, sounds the alarm about maintaining freedom and privacy in the computer age and called him a principled critic. And according to the New York, according to Time magazine, rather, Privacy Journal, they say, is a privacy watchdog. Good morning, Robert.
Morning, Nadia.
Thanks for coming on the show. We have a couple of minutes before we go to our first break, so I wondered if you would just give us a summary of some of the key areas of concerns Americans should have about their privacy.
I think the trend towards a national ID card is the greatest concern right now. There is a move, as you probably know, to unify all of the state driver's licenses and to require more documentation to get a driver's license. And this document will be required for most federal purposes. Well, there are not many federal purposes, actually, where you need an ID, but that's moving along. It's called Real ID. I think that's the most dangerous aspect. The second one is the emphasis now on locational information. In the 70s and 80s and 90s, there was emphasis on personal information like credit reports and medical records and how you spent your money. Now the emphasis is on where you are, and some of the old privacy principles may not apply because there's more interest in GPS systems, in cell phone tracking, in ATM machines that track, in camera surveillance throughout our communities. So more and more the government and businesses are keeping track, not so much who you are, but where you are, and I think that's an important trend that we all ought to be mindful of.
So, from what I've seen, the threat seems to be coming from both business and government, because government is passing a lot of frightening legislation. There's technology that's developing out there that's more and more invasive, and business seems to be adopting a lot of principles or initiatives, rather, that are utilizing the technology, which they say is for better marketing, but it's actually more invasive. What do you think the greatest threat is, from business or government?
Well, actually, in the privacy area, business and government seem to exchange information across lines and cooperate. And for instance, private insurance companies run the Medicare program, and private phone companies cooperate in doing the wiretapping for the federal government. So the lines are blurred between private and public. I would have said in the earlier decades, like especially the 90s, that the greater threat was from business with their target marketing and their increasing reliance on information, on locational information. But since September 11, 2001, clearly the federal government has become a larger threat. I think there's been very clumsy attempts to monitor terrorist activity, and they've had the effect only of making life difficult for American citizens and law-abiding people. Essentially, the unauthorized use of wiretapping, electronic surveillance, the push towards a national ID card,
Robert,
and the Patriot Act.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
We're back. And Robert, I apologize for cutting in on you like that for the break, but you were mentioning the events of September 11th and the Patriot Act, which has propelled a lot of this new legislation.
Yes, that's true. And as I say, I think it's been a clumsy effort. It hasn't been that effective. I think our airline security is not what it ought to be. Still, we harass people for identity cards when they get on airplanes, and the utility of that has just never been shown to me. And what it does is get all of us adjusted to showing ID at various places to people in authority, and so I think we're being primed, we're being educated, we're being adjusted to the whole concept of presenting a national ID card in every aspect of our lives.
Yeah, I was going to agree with you on that because it is a kind of conditioning exercise to get it, sort of desensitize us from being uncomfortable about having our identity probed constantly. So, you know, the whole thing about the national ID, now this has been going on for a long time, the dialogue about it, because I remember many years ago in Clinton's first administration, when they started talking about the socialized medicine that Hillary wants to push, that inclusive in that was a smart card that had a computer chip in it. Do you remember that? That's been a long time ago.
That's true. That's in the 1992-93 period. That was part of her program. In fact, I think either she or the president held up a sample card of what they planned to use. But that program, of course, was never enacted.
But, you know, every time they bring it up, it's like, well, they set a precedent for it. It may not go through now, but now we have it out there. People are exposed to the idea. They may not like it, but over time, if they continue to reintroduce modalities like that constantly, then are they going to wear us down? Are they going to get people to be accustomed to having their identity checked?
Well, I think so. I think a national ID card is coming through these small bureaucratic steps that are not publicly debated, and Congress refuses to debate the issue. They leave it to the bureaucrats to develop these various steps. The reason I think it's dangerous is that it gives much too much authority to those in authority. In other words, police and others can stop you anywhere when you're just jogging or minding your own business and ask that you have your papers in order. And that's been a concept that has been foreign to Americans, I think, for many, many years. It is much akin to a domestic passport, too, a documentation that you have to show to go within your own country. That's what we have reached now. And that's the sort of scheme that we have really disparaged and fought against in South Africa and Eastern Europe and Saudi Arabia and others. And why we would impose this on ourselves when the utility, the value in fighting terrorism is minimal, I don't really understand. I think most people see it as convenience. They think that it would mean they'd have to carry less plastic in their wallet and their purses, and that's probably true. But I think the loss in freedom of autonomy would be huge.
So why aren't Americans more sensitive to it? I'm sure there are some. I would be one.
There are some. I think most people, once they were told to go shopping after the terrorist attacks, they have this interest in commercialism and they view it as a convenience, really. For most people who don't have any encounters with law enforcement or others, having a credential is a positive thing. It admits them to places that others can't go to. And so a lot of people, short-sighted, I think, see a value in a credential that's going to get them into places that other people can't get into. But when you live on the margins of society, when you move a lot, when you have a lot of children, when you have very few assets, when you're homeless, when you've had trouble with the law, when you've been the victim of mistaken identity, then you really know the dangers of allowing the government to decide who is a legitimate person and who isn't, who can enter this place and who can't. I think it's much better that we have discrete individual identity for each transaction, whether it's driving an automobile or charging a product at a store. If we have one universal card, not only is that going to be subject to theft by other people, and it's going to be subject to computer error, but it also gives too much authority to people in business and in government to stop us and claim that we're not qualified.
Well, tell me what the latest is on the congressional attempt to control the Bush administration's extra-legal electronic surveillance.
Well, I think it's been a very weak response. There has been in place for many, many years the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which provides for electronic surveillance in order to gather foreign intelligence. The government need not show probable cause of criminal activity, as they must in a criminal case. They simply go to a secret court that rubber stamps the application. It has for years. Very few of these applications have ever been denied. And that authority was plenty, even after September 11th, to pursue the intelligence that we needed to gather. And it's the proper way to go about that. The Bush administration bypassed that court, ignored that court, and installed wiretaps with the help of the phone companies without any approval, even by this secret court. And now the Democrats are trying to compromise on this and perhaps allow the president to install some wiretaps without the approval of the so-called FISA court. And I think it's a very dangerous precedent. There are even provisions for allowing law enforcement, the FBI, and others to install wiretaps on an emergency basis and then get the approval after the fact. But there are, it does create a paper trail so that we can go back later and make sure that proper procedures were followed. And the FISA Act does not slow down law enforcement or the intelligence agencies in doing what they have to do. We've really been sold a bill of goods saying that to require the government to go through this secret court is an imposition and will somehow lessen the war against terrorists.
Well, what I understand is that recently the amended FISA Act had a delay in it because the holdup were several congressional members that were filibustering the issue over the immunity for the telecommunications company. Do you think we're going to get that?
I think we are. I'm not sure that's the major fight, but it is true that one bill offered, and that comes from the Intelligence Committee in the Senate, would provide immunity for telephone companies. In other words, the victims of that wiretapping, of which there are many, would no longer be able to sue to recover damages to their lost civil liberties. It would terminate all of those lawsuits that are going on now around the country. The Senate Judiciary Committee, Senator Leahy, has offered a FISA amendment that would not include immunity for the telephone companies. And that's the stumbling block right now. I think actually civil libertarians might cave in on the immunity issue if they got strict assurances that the FISA Act would have to be complied with in the future.
So the FISA Act originally was several decades ago, right? So what about this FISA court? When was it established?
That, too, was established about five decades ago. In 1968, we had a wiretap law that is still in effect today, and it requires probable cause before law enforcement can install electronic surveillance. And whether the president could install electronic surveillance was just not clear. And during the Watergate era, the Nixon administration asserted that the president could do it whenever he wished. And that led to the passing of this this FISA Act just after Watergate. And it's been in effect ever since. And it's extremely permissive for the intelligence agency. The law recognizes that you shouldn't require probable cause to gather information about foreign intelligence, and you shouldn't have to notify the persons against whom the wiretapping is installed as you would in a criminal case. On the other hand, one of the provisions of that was that that information, because it didn't require this higher standard, couldn't be used in a criminal case, and the Bush administration has really wiped out that that protection.
Well, you know, our government was designed to have a limit to power of the presidency, but he has given himself, through so many signing statements, he's given himself so much more power. And is this not setting a precedent for whomever is elected the next term?
Yes, I think it is, and that's always the danger. The next White House is not going to go back and say, well, we'll abide by the FISA Act, I'm afraid. They're going to say, well, the Bush administration got away with it, and so will we.
Yeah. Well, we have a caller. Mark in Kentucky, you're on the line.
Yes, good morning. Yeah, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. What's on your mind?
I just want to ask, gentlemen, On the state driver's licenses and all that, now is it true that this chip actually has enough memory on it to actually fill up an Encyclopedia Britannica?
Well, it's got a massive amount of storage capacity. I don't know whether your portrayal is correct. I wouldn't be surprised. It's got a massive amount of areas to store information in the RFID chip, which is radio frequency ID chip, embedded within the plastic. That means that the government at some point can go out and rent space in that card to hospitals, to financial institutions, to insurance companies, and probably a lot of people will accept that. There's so much capacity that it can be shared with others.
Well, I actually heard that they were talking about actually combining that even with your credit card and using that, your ID as a means of a credit card, too. Have you heard anything about that?
No, but it's certainly practical and feasible, and it would not surprise me if the industry wanted to move that way. And I think a lot of people want that. They tell me they like a national ID because they've got too much plastic in their wallet.
God.
I think that's really short-sighted.
Well, the thing of it is that what people don't really understand is that also, for what I've been able to understand about this national ID card, is that they will be combining our personal information, such as things like what kind of magazines we subscribe to, what kind of house payment we have and all that, and be combining it on this card where if you got pulled over by a local policeman or something like that, they can actually profile, even know how much kind of a house payment you have on your car.
Well, Mark, you bring up some good things. We're going to go to another break.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism.
Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering. And click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Welcome back to the program. We're discussing privacy issues and technology and government. And Mark, you brought up some very good points, because I think one of the most dangerous things about all this is the precedent that it is establishing. And with technology expanding constantly, it's exponential. It seems like every 6 months, the capacity of personal computers seems to double. And the precedent that this sets is, if once all of this is in place, then they can increase the capacity for information storage on either computer chips or the small information units that are installed in these cards.
Right. And I was wanting to ask the gentleman, I've heard that there is some states that are actually putting some opposition to this. I mean, I heard that states like Pennsylvania is having a hard time with this and actually thinking about actually passing laws against this. I mean, is the only way how to get around this is that the states start taking back their rights and telling them, like, you know, do whatever you can, but we're not going to put those chips in those cards.
There are about a dozen states that have resisted this, mainly because of the expense. Washington will not reimburse the states for the expenses, and the governor of Montana, which has opposed the Real ID law, has written to other governors urging them to do the same thing.
That's really shocking to me, because I know beyond doubt they paid somewhere between $2 and $3 billion to the telecommunications industry for cell phones, to put those chips in the cell phones. Why won't they give the money to the states to do that, too? I don't understand that, if they're trying to push it so hard.
Well, the law was passed with no hearings and no consideration at all, so that's the reason for that. In their regulations, the Department of Homeland Security has provided a little bit of money, not a whole lot, that probably will not cover the state's expenses. So you've got this interesting opposition from both civil libertarians and the states on this one. Regulations also permitted a waiver, so some states will do that. But in addition to that, the regulations were considerably watered down when they were released just last month. But I hope people realize that they actually can do without this so-called real ID driver's license. If their state goes against it, they're not going to have any real problems.
Now, let me ask a question. Let's say, they do get this simple. I know it's supposed to go in May this year. And, does that mean the existing card I have is still going to be good until the expiration date, and then they'll have that chip, or are they going to try to require everyone to get a new driver's license as soon as this goes into effect?
No, your license will not be valid for federal purposes after the effective date, which is in May of this year. Now, mm-hmm. Some states are going to get an extension. The regulation permits that. Other states will get a total waiver, perhaps. But at some point, if your state is part of the Real ID law, then you'll have to go back in and get a new driver's license. It will have a radio frequency ID chip embedded in it, and will require much more documentation for you to get it, including, birth certificate and that sort of thing.
Now, Robert, I want to ask you, though, isn't this only applicable to people who are born after 1964, the first tier of people that are going to require this?
There is an age limit. That's correct. If you've heard 64, I won't dispute that, but that's correct. Older people do get a pass on this one.
Well, Mark, I want to thank you for your call. I appreciate your calling in and listening. I wanted to ask you, just shifting gears a little bit here and talking about Google, because I've been reading a little bit about them over time, and it seems that they have some acquired privileges that some of the other ISPs do not have, or search engines don't have. Should we have any privacy concerns about Google or Gmail?
Yeah, definitely. First of all, if you subscribe to Gmail, you allow the company to monitor your email in order to find out what products and services you might be interested in so that they can target advertising to you. And you should be concerned that Google acquired a company called DoubleClick, which is the major advertising broker on the Internet and also the source of most of the pop-up and banner ads that we receive. So if Microsoft were to take over Yahoo, the main competitor, you would have these two major companies that have massive amounts of Internet-generated information about people's buying habits. So Google does save information about the searches that we make. I believe it's 18 months now that they save that for. They will comply with a government subpoena for that information. Google does require governmental paperwork, and that's a good thing, before they will give up that information. But people should be aware that their searches are preserved, the information, for 18 months. And if they go to intermediary sites or they search at a library, then they'll be free of that. So if you're going to make sensitive searches, ironically, I think you probably ought to go to a library or a public Internet source. It used to be, in the privacy of your home, that was the safest place to research controversial things. But currently, right now, I think the opposite is true. You ought not to use your home computer if it's a very sensitive search that you have. You ought to go to a neutral site away from your home to make those sensitive searches. Most libraries delete that information at the end of the day.
Oh, I see. Well, I wanted to ask you a few questions about the Federal Trade Commission, but we're going to get to that when we take one more break. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715, again 888-211-1715, or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold. Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Welcome back. We're talking about privacy issues this morning, and before we get back to the program, I have a quick word from one of our sponsors. You might have heard of one of RBN's sponsors' commercials about Cartavite. This product is no joke. If you're having health problems, getting tired or worn down, then you need Cartavite. Cartavite supports cardiovascular, blood pressure, cholesterol levels, and delivers nutrients to your cells. Plus, it's all natural. Visit our sponsor today at heartdrop.com or call 877-928-8822. And I want to encourage our listeners to visit our website, republicbroadcasting.org. Lots of information and articles. I post a column there regularly. And I would invite your calls this morning at 800-313-9443 if you have a question for our guest this morning. And Robert, before the break, you were talking about this new acquisition, this new merger between Google and DoubleClick, and I had a question about in the process of the Federal Trade Commission examining this merger, did they look into the issues of privacy?
They did, but barely. There was a dissent to that opinion which raised the privacy issue. It will come up again if the Microsoft and Yahoo deal goes before the Federal Trade Commission. This is kind of a new concept for the four out of five federal trade commissioners that privacy should be part of the consideration when an antitrust decision is being made. But it should be. It's a major consumer issue, and when there are monopolies that have personal information in them, the concern for privacy is much greater. So I think we'll see more of this, that privacy will be a key consideration in antitrust considerations. We have more about a lot of these issues on our website, if I could mention it. It's privacyjournal.net.
Yes, I was going to ask you to give that out, and that's privacyjournal.net.
Yeah,
you're a subscription. Now, you're a subscription in paper and or electronic only?
Either one, electronic or paper, and we have a special rate of $35 for individuals. We also publish a book with all the laws on privacy that people can use, plus a history of privacy, too. That's all on the website.
Now, in your recent publication in January, you talk about a number of very interesting things, and one of the other ones that I wanted to talk about was the company called ChoicePoint. Could you explain to our listeners who they are and what they do?
Yeah, back in the old days, there used to be a company called Retail Credit Company that did credit reports on people and also did investigations for employers when people applied for employment. That company changed its name to Equifax, and many people have probably heard of it. It's a national credit bureau based in Atlanta. They spun off the part of their business that did reports for employers and insurance companies, and they called it ChoicePoint. ChoicePoint was the company that was assigned to scrub the voter list in Florida before the 2000 election. They've had very strong ties to the Republican Party in Washington. It's a company that is only now developing a concern about accuracy. The company culture for a full 100 years of its history really didn't care about the accuracy of information. If they bounced somebody out of employment or credit because of an inaccurate file, they really didn't worry about it too much. Their concern was more providing information that would allow for somebody to get credit or get a job when that information turned out to be wrong. In other words, if they reported positive information when they should have reported negative information, they were more concerned about that than hurting people. So that led to the passage of the Fair Credit Reporting Act, which gives people a chance to see their own credit reports, and now that's been amended to give you a free look once a year. ChoicePoint it jumped on the terrorist bandwagon after September 11, 2001, and they sell a lot of products to the government, including the Department of Homeland Security, that purport to pick out the terrorists from airport lines and purport to provide watch lists for our border crossings and the like, all based on this information that they've gathered about people for years in the course of collecting information for insurance companies, and it's notoriously inaccurate, and still a lot of government people are entering into contracts with ChoicePoint. Federal Trade Commission has several times cited them for inaccurate reporting.
But the bottom line is what matters to them, it seems. So until there's a major lawsuit against them, which, have you seen that happen, or do you see that coming down the line?
There are major lawsuits against them that they just seem to budget that into their cost of doing business.
So they're considered a data mining company, correct?
Yes, I think that is accurate, yes. Part of their operation is a credit report. Part of it is data mining, yes.
And so
I think the problem is that the government ought not to contract with companies that one branch of the government has found are not responsible bidders.
But they have capacity that government wants to tap into, and government doesn't want to reinvent the wheel. They say, well, these companies are out there doing it. Just like the telecommunications companies, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to develop an apparatus that is keeping track of all these phone calls. We can just tap into what the PIN registers, records that the telecommunications companies have, and we'll just use them. That's why they want to give them immunity. But what about the companies like this? Are they going to be seeking immunity as well, since they're liable right now with so many inaccuracies?
Well, they may well be, and I think the government could simply write that into the contracts that they make with these companies. You put your finger on a trend. A big brother is in twin brothers, really, with these big businesses that have personal information about people or control their telecommunications in cahoots with the government, which has huge powers of subpoena and depriving people of their liberties.
So in your journal, you say that they maintain files relating to medical records and payments of medical records, residential or tenant history, check writing history, employment history, and insurance claims. It seems like the American citizen just can't escape having any kind of privacy anymore. It doesn't matter what you do. It's kind of hard to be off the grid of information.
Well, I think there are some ways you can do it. Among other things, these companies and the government suffers from information pollution. There's just too much of it. They can't keep track of it. As we saw in 2001, information is available, is known to the government, but it's not able to process it. It's not able to get it in the right hands where people can act on it. So that's one thing we can rely on. We also can keep our social security numbers very close to ourselves and not provide it to just anybody. We can continually monitor the internet to make sure that information that is posted about us is accurate. I'm not saying you can delete it, but you can at least make sure that it's accurate. And you can do without a lot of things too. Do without a deduction for your children on tax return if they insist on having your social security number for your children. Just do without a lot of the shopping that will require leaving a paper trail behind you or an electronic trail.
Mm.
So while you're right that there is a lot of monitoring and collection of information, there are some things we can do to throw off those who would like to keep track of us.
But, you know, one of the interesting trends in all of this is that you have an increased capacity and increased application of technology that seems to be concomitant with U.S. government legislation that wants to utilize this technology to its own end, which the reason that I named my show Escape from Freedom, it's based on Eric Fromm's work, first published in 1941, where he says that freedom, inherent in freedom, are responsibilities that very often people are willing to throw off and escape from, and one of those is acquiescing to totalitarianism. And I named the show that because I see a trend happening in this country. Even though he wrote it, that book, many years ago, I think that it was a prophetic vision that he had, which he observed what was going on in Germany at the time. And I've had a lot of European friends over the years tell me that, Nadia, what's happening now in America is exactly what was happening in Europe many years ago. And so because you have the marriage of the technology with the intent of the government, I mean, I think this combination is probably the most frightening thing, and I wish that Americans could open their eyes and get a revelation of this principle, because then they would understand that their civil liberties are indeed under threat. But I'll tell you, and you've probably heard this, a lot of people say, well, why should I worry? I haven't done anything wrong.
Well, they should worry because many of them have children and grandchildren, and you don't want your address floating around and your phone number floating around, and you don't want your kids being victimized on the internet. So that's one reason to protect your privacy, because you've got family members who are not quite as protective as yourself. And secondly, you ought to do it just because it's an important American principle. You may not ever exercise the right of free religion against the government, and you may not ever have to invoke your right to privacy, but it's an important concept that we all have to protect. It's those of us who aren't threatened by invasions of privacy that have to protect it for those who are much, much more vulnerable. I also think, too, that protecting your privacy gives you much more of a sense of autonomy and of human dignity. You know, it's really essential to good mental health to have a safe haven and to be able to do things when you're not accountable and you're not always being monitored. So those are important philosophical concepts, even if you don't see right now in your life that you may need it. I've had so many people also approach me saying, you know, I didn't care about privacy till later on in my life when I had a disability or I had a child with a chronic illness or I had to deal with college admissions or I was a victim of identity theft. You can't anticipate what ahead in your life is going to wish you were more protective of your privacy right now. Mm-hmm. I also, what your comments reminded me that we should continue to remember there are some technologies that work for us. Cell phones are not one of them, but call blocking is one of them, and ATM cards is one of them, where you can present an ATM card at a store purchase across the counter, and it's much more anonymous than a credit card. It leaves no data trail that can be used to exploit you. And there are ways on the Internet to protect your privacy and your correspondence. So we should find those technologies that work for individuals and try to combat the technology that works for large organizations.
Yeah, there was an interesting article someone gave me yesterday off the Internet. I think it was on the WashingtonPost.com website, of several incidences at airports, and one of which a woman was pulled aside, and they insisted that she type in the password, initially resisting to do that, but then had to. And TSA officials began to rifle through all of the websites that she had visited and made note of them. This is scary. This is like, it feels like Nazi Germany when you haven't done a thing. You're traveling. You're just minding your own business. You happen to have a laptop or a cell phone with you, and you never know now whether or not you're going to be pulled aside and have everything exposed to a total stranger and feel like you're under suspicion of having done something wrong when you haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah, it's very true, and we can't forget that Google provides a great tool for these people at border crossings and in businesses. There's no law that says you can't Google somebody, and there's no law that says Google's got to make sure the information about you is accurate, and there's no law that says that Google has to show the information it has in the search to you. The protections, you know, that we have with credit reporting agencies and others, you don't have that with Google, and now more and more employers and court officials and border guards and the like are Googling people, and if they find something that just strikes them as negative, they can use that to deny you access, and they don't have to ever tell you what they relied on.
Gee, it kind of sounds anti-constitutional to me.
Well, I think it is. There are those who have been stopped at the borders because of a Google search.
Wow. Well, I wanted to ask you about this. It was an interesting case that happened in Seattle where there was a ring of impersonators that were gathering information about private citizens across the country, about 12,000 people who had information about them that was gleaned in this manner. They were pretexting. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I wrote that up in my January issue, which I'll be happy to provide anybody who just contacts us through the website. But this was one of the largest rings ever, and it showed how government and businesses can be in cahoots. It did involve about 12,000 individuals, and there's been a large indictment now after that ring was busted up in Seattle. But it's essentially a wholesale identity theft is what it is. Just getting people's information and then using it to market to them illegal scams.
Are there any laws or legislation that you see coming down the pike that's going to more fully regulate the activities of private investigators? Because a few years ago, I worked as a private investigator. I was licensed in two states. And on one case, I collaborated with another PI, and he provided me with a motherload of information about someone that I was working on. And he himself, who was a retired Marine and been a PI for 15 years, he said, it is scary what you can get on somebody if you have the money.
And
we called them information brokers, which is basically paying somebody who's inside of a company to obtain records from either cell phone records or landline records, all kinds of information that over time private investigators develop relationships with people who have access to this information, and you just pass them some money under the table. I mean, this is really frightening to see how easy it is to lose personal information in that regard, totally separate from what the government may do or what business may do.
Yeah, and it's led to three homicides already that we know of, probably more. And the laws on private investigators are much too loose. Some states don't require that they even be licensed, and those that require licensing have very loose standards, nothing uniform about it all. Virtually anybody can hold himself or herself out as a private investigator. On the identity theft front, there are lots of laws around, but they're really inadequate. They're biting around the edges. They're not getting at the heart of the problem. The heart of the problem is that credit bureaus, when they get an inquiry from some place where a person has applied for credit, they use the Social Security number to compare whether they've got the right record or not. And if somebody has your Social Security number, they can simply apply for credit in your name, and it will be approved because the Social Security numbers will match. It's the simplest fix that could possibly be, and the Congress and the Federal Trade Commission not only refuse to recognize it, but they encourage use of Social Security numbers. Ron Paul, on his website, people go there, they'll see that he blames Congress for identity theft, and he's absolutely right.
Well, I appreciate your comments on that. We're going to take one more break, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned to the Republic Broadcasting.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, Collodial Silver, Olive Leaf Extract, Oregano Oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states. To get a survival insurance policy, take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
And we're back. We've been talking with Robert Ellis Smith, the publisher of Privacy Journal. And Robert, I wanted to ask you, How do the presidential candidates and their policies shape up? How do they differ on the issues of privacy?
On the Republican side, there isn't much mentioned in their websites or in their speeches, with the exception of defending or opposing abortion as a privacy issue. Ron Paul is separate from that. He has had a long history of opposing use of Social Security numbers. He opposed this Real ID Act that I mentioned before about driver's licenses. He opposed the Patriot Act anti-privacy provisions, and there's plenty on his website about the right to privacy. On the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton is pretty thorough. She has a separate page devoted to privacy, and people might want to check that out. Obama recognizes privacy as an issue, but doesn't give much attention to it, although I suppose as a very traditional Democrat, he would stick up for privacy the way the Clinton administration did. The Clinton administration had a privacy point person in the White House responsible for privacy policy, and I think that's very important. It was also part of the Carter White House, and it disappeared after that. So I think that's an important benchmark that you could anticipate if a Democrat is elected. At least there would be somebody with responsibility for privacy policy in the White House.
So what has Hillary said in her opinions on privacy?
Well, she devoted a major speech to it just about a year ago, which is printed on her website, and she points out that she's been the victim of invasion to privacy just because she's a prominent public figure, but says that that leads her to have additional sensitivity to it. She thinks it ought to be a balance between national security and individual rights. She thinks it ought to be stronger enforcement of the federal rule on medical confidentiality, and she's right about that. There have not been enough hard cases to show hospitals that we're all serious about expecting medical confidentiality. And she also calls for a creation of a what she calls a privacy czar in the White House.
Oh, that's interesting. I had not heard that. Any rumors of who that might be?
No, I don't think you can anticipate at this point who that would be.
Well,
I'll take the job. I'll take the job.
Yeah, I think you'd be perfect for it.
Right.
Well, I want to remind everyone to visit your website. Do you want to give that out again, and any other information on how people can contact you?
Thank you. Privacyjournal.net, and they can go there and just click on our email address. It's orders@privacyjournal.net. And as I say, we publish a monthly newsletter, which is available electronically or hard copy, and a book of laws that will protect you, and also a history of privacy in the United States. Privacyjournal.net.
Well, Robert Ellis Smith, attorney, and uses his legal mind to examine the issue of privacy, and has done so for the last 30 years. I want to thank you so much for coming on the program, and I hope you'll come back soon, because there's going to be more legislation. I'd love to talk with you about FISA when it, if and when it finally comes back to the table and goes through.
Thank you, Nadia, and congratulations on a very interesting show.
Thank you so much. Well, that's it for today, everyone. I'll see you on Monday, and I want to remind everyone of this very important thought. Remember, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. I'll see you Monday.